Ahoy from BA. This is a Rorschach Ocean Update from 13th of May 2025, a summary of what's going down in the 70% surface of the Earth covered in salt water. On Monday the 5th, the European Environment Agency published an article on oxygen levels in Europe's coastal and marine waters, which keep declining due to nutrient pollution and climate change. Agricultural runoff, wastewater, and industrial discharges are triggering algal blooms, which deplete oxygen as they decay. Warmer waters worsen the issue by reducing oxygen solubility, increasing marine organisms' oxygen demand, and limiting water mixing. In around 18% of monitored areas, especially the Baltic and Black Seas, over a third of regions show critical levels. Oxygen loss threatens marine life, disrupts ecosystems, and harms fisheries. Despite EU efforts through strategies like the Green Deal, 7% of monitoring stations report declining trends, particularly in the Baltic and Danish fjords. Regions like the Northeast Atlantic show mixed outcomes, with some signs of recovery. Want to read the full article? The link is in the show notes. Talking about the Atlantic Ocean, NBC6 reported on Friday the 9th that sargassum levels in the tropical Atlantic and Caribbean Sea reached record highs in April 2025, exceeding the previous peak in June 2022 by 40%. Researchers at the University of South Florida report that the bloom has grown to roughly 30 million metric tons. Warmer waters and increased nutrients, possibly from stronger winds pulling nutrients to the surface, continue to fuel this rapid growth. While much of the seaweed remains offshore, it could drift toward Florida's coast depending on local winds and tides. Experts warn that massive sargassum blooms can block sunlight, harm seagrasses and coral reefs, and hinder marine animals like sea turtles. Even though sargassum supports marine life in moderation, its overgrowth disrupts ecosystems and burdens coastal communities with costly cleanup efforts. In more news from the Atlantic Ocean, a study was published earlier this month in the journal Seismological Research Letters, where researchers at the Australian National University tracked energy signals from winter storms in the North Atlantic that travel through Earth's core and reach Australia. Using two custom-built spiral seismometer arrays in remote regions of Queensland and Western Australia, the team detected core-traveling seismic waves generated by ocean storms near Greenland and Newfoundland. These microseismic signals produced by the interaction of ocean waves with the seafloor help scientists examine Earth's deep interior. The team analyzed multiple days of data to locate the strongest signal sources. Their findings highlight how storm-driven ocean activity can transmit energy deep through the planet. On that note about Australia, China condemned its recent joint military exercises with the US and the Philippines in the South China Sea, accusing the nations of provoking conflict and undermining regional stability. China's foreign ministry criticized the drills, saying the US manipulated the Philippines to stir tensions and disrupt peace. The Royal Australian Navy Sydney joined ships and aircraft from both partner nations in the contested waters, aiming to strengthen cooperation and operational coordination. In contrast to Beijing's remarks, Australia's Defence Department reaffirmed its commitment to international law, emphasizing the importance of freedom of navigation and shared security efforts. Over the past year, Australia and its allies have increased military cooperation with the Philippines in response to China's growing aggression in disputed areas. In other news, climate scientists are concerned over the future of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA, services, crucial for monitoring Arctic sea ice, snowpack, and glacier conditions, sparking concern among climate scientists. NOAA's National Centers for Environmental Information reduced support for key climate monitoring datasets, including records of sea ice extent and glacier photos, in order to align with strategic shifts and funding decisions during the Trump administration. Researchers emphasized the severe impact on long-term climate trend analysis, especially for infrastructure planning in Alaska. While other global sources, like the EU and Japan, still collect related data, they don't match NOAA's regional detail. NOAA justified the decision as part of a broader strategy to refocus resources. However, many experts see a pattern targeting climate change research. The National Snow and Ice Data Center warned that its services now carry a higher risk of disruption. To know more about this story, check out the Rorschach Arctic Update, link in the show notes. In news from the other pole, British Antarctic Survey concluded a successful research season with over 450 team members conducting around 60 science projects across Antarctica. Three projects stand out. At King Edward Point, researchers tagged deep sea fish and explored new depths, while another team surveyed elephant seals using drones. At sea, researchers tagged humpbacks and collected rare whale samples. Lastly, field teams studied ancient seafloor life on King George Island and completed a complex equipment recovery mission. As winter begins, about 50 staff will continue key monitoring efforts through the dark Antarctic months. On another note, Cosmos 482, a Soviet Venus probe launched in March 1972, re-entered Earth's atmosphere after orbiting for over 50 years and crashed into the Indian Ocean near Jakarta, Indonesia. The spacecraft, trapped in orbit due to a launch failure, descended gradually over decades before finally crashing into the sea. Space agencies like Roscosmos and the European Space Agency confirmed the splashdown. Even though the probe's durable design raised concerns about debris surviving re-entry, no damage or wreckage reports have surfaced. Weighing nearly 500 kilograms or 1,100 pounds, the lander was originally built to withstand Venus's extreme conditions, which made its ocean crash a point of international interest. From the Indian to the Pacific Ocean, five fishermen, three from Peru and two from Colombia, survived 55 days drifting in the Pacific Ocean after their boat broke down shortly after leaving Pocosana Bay, south of Lima, Peru. On Wednesday the 7th, an Ecuadorian tuna vessel named Aldo spotted and rescued them. The fishermen said that their alternator failed 2 days into the trip, disabling all communication and navigation systems. They survived by drinking rainwater and small amounts of seawater, extracting rusted water from the engine, and catching fish, which they boiled to eat. The men currently remain in stable condition. Authorities in Ecuador are now working with Peruvian and Colombian officials to organize the fishermen's safe return home. Let's have a look at the Suez Canal. The French shipping and logistics company Compagnie Maritime d'Affrètement, Compagnie Générale Maritime, or CMA-CGM, confirmed its strong interest in fully resuming transit through the Suez Canal during a virtual meeting on Wednesday the 7th with Admiral Rabier, the chairman of the Suez Canal Authority. The two leaders discussed vessel operations and the impact of recent security developments in the Red Sea. Admiral Rabier praised the CMA-CGM for maintaining some of its shipping routes through the canal despite regional instability, and noted that improved security in the region offers an opportunity to revise shipping strategies and restore full use of the canal. The CMA-CGM welcomed the positive security shift and emphasized the company's commitment to route planning based on crew and vessel safety. From the Suez to the Panama Canal on Monday the 12th, the Hong Kong-based multinational CK Hutchison Holdings reassured that the sale of its Panama ports will comply with all legal requirements following concerns raised by China's market regulator. The company said that the transaction, part of a $23 billion US deal with a BlackRock-led consortium, will only proceed after meeting necessary conditions, including securing shareholder approval and obtaining regulatory clearance. The Panama ports, located at the strategic Panama Canal, have attracted attention from both China and the US due to their geopolitical importance. CK Hutchison will discuss the deal further at its annual meeting on the 22nd of May. Closing with the Black Sea, On Monday, the 12th, the United Nations Development Programme delivered essential chemical reagents and laboratory supplies to Ukraine's State Environmental Inspectorate to help monitor and address Black Sea pollution. Funded by Sweden, the supplies will assist in monitoring seawater and coastal conditions in the Odessa and Mykolaiv regions. Materials will be particularly useful in assessing oil pollution after a major spill from damaged Russian tankers in the Kerch Strait in late 2024. The Ukrainian government has increased its environmental monitoring efforts, and the new resources will improve the frequency and accuracy of laboratory tests. And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Don't worry, it's free. Help us grow and keep the updates coming. See you next week.